The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathert. Hope you had a good holiday weekend, good Labor Day weekend. Spent some time with the family. Now we're back at it. We've got Labor Day behind us. I guess that means summer is culturally over, even if it's not astronomically over. Summer going to be with us until, what, the 21st, 22nd, somewhere around then. But for the most part, it looks like people certainly here on the campus of Concordia Seminary have turned their attention toward the fall. The students have arrived. I believe this is the first day of classes here on Concordia Seminary. And the campus, which is largely unoccupied during the course of the summer, is now abuzz with activity and just has a way of reinvigorating all of us when we see these young people, these young men and their families making their way around the campus. Thanks for tuning our way. We're scrambling here a little bit because our guest, who was due to be on the program with us here today, Pastor Kurt Taylor, we just contacted his church up in Waltz, Michigan, St. John's Lutheran Church, and they tell us that he's in Germany. And I said, in this era of cell phones, thinking that, well, you know, maybe we can call him all the way in Germany, but no, he is out of touch. And so our staff here is working to come up with a pinch hitter during the course of this hour, in which we will discuss verses 1 through 17 of Matthew chapter 9. While they do that, I'd like to talk to you about our Founders Annual Benefit Dinner. It's scheduled for October 24th, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It is an important event for us as it will help us raise the necessary funds to continue our broadcast ministry here on KFUO Radio. The proceeds from this dinner will benefit our station. And if you would like to attend the Founders Annual Benefit Dinner, the best way to do that is go to our website, or at least to sign up to attend. Go to the website at kfuo.org, and you will see right there in the middle of the top of the page, in prominent purple letters, Download Reservation PDF. And that will get you started. If you click on that, you'll see a copy of the invitation. Some of you listening to me right now may have received this invitation in the mail, but we're looking for tables of 10, and we're hopeful that we will fill up the room when we have our Founders Annual Benefit Dinner. We'll be out at the golf course at Forest Park, and we're very excited about it. We did something like this. You may recall back when we had our 85th anniversary, we celebrated that in the spring here. Oh, I guess, what, a little over a year ago. And so we're going to do that in the fall. The date is October 24th, and the time is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a Sunday afternoon. You'll be able to get home in plenty of time. And, of course, all the money we come up with there will help us perpetuate the ministry of KFUO Radio. Go to KFUO.org. And check it out. Take a look at the invitation there. And we have a $40,000 matching grant that's involved from generous folks who have provided us with matching funds. And your donations, your contributions, and, of course, your attendance at our Founders Annual Benefit Dinner will help us as we endeavor to raise money for the radio station. While you're at the website there, kfuo.org, if you go down the left side of the page, you'll find our Bible study archives. And I'm delinquent in rarely mentioning this. Usually I get busy with the guest pastor and we begin to talk about the subject of the day. But if you click on the Bible study archives there, that'll take you to a page that shows the chapters and verses that we've been dealing with recently. On the right side of the page, you'll see a list of Bible books. I don't know if they're all there. I think they're just about all there. Some of them are separate studies. The Book of Romans, for example. We have a complete series on the Book of Romans from both the year 2005 and again in 2008. But even the minor prophets, some of the minor prophets are covered there. So I invite you to check out our audio archives, particularly if you are a Sunday school teacher, maybe even if you're a pastor, and you've got a text to preach on. You can go to these audio archives and click in there, and you can listen to the conversation on that text that was assigned to that day. Might help you with some sermon illustrations or some sermon creativity. So I commend that to your use and your perusal. You'll find that at kfuo.org on the left side of the page of the Bible Study Archive. And we have an entire list of Bible books. You'll see the books listed. When you click on the books, let's just click on one of these here. Which one should I click on? I'm going to click on Romans from 2008. And then the first thing that comes up is the last chapter that in the series, but just a number of different programs as we divided that book up into smaller than chapter breaks. As far as the number of programs there, it looks like there must be, I don't know, 24 to 30 programs all on the book of Romans, with our stable of trained theologians and pastors here who speak to that particular book. So give it a look. It is at kfuo.org, and it is the Bible Study Archive. There are other archives there as well: Morning Essentials, The Essence, Studio A, Law and Gospel. Those programs all have archives there, and you will find those just as useful. So we're waiting to see if we can come up with somebody here who can perhaps help us out with the Matthew 9 text here, verses 1 through 17. Our scheduled guest for today is Pastor Kurt Taylor. Pastor Kurt Taylor, however, they tell us at St. John's Lutheran Church in Waltz, Michigan, where he is the pastor, is in Germany, which is distressing for another reason, and that is that, as some of you know, Pastor Taylor is... I believe he's in the Air Force. I think he's a chaplain in the Air Force. And from time to time is called up to some duty. A couple of years ago, he spent the Christmas holiday, I believe, over in Afghanistan. And I don't know, took about 4 or 5 months of duty, I think, there. It was interesting to hear his remarks and his reactions, having spent time with our fine young fighting men and women over in a theater of war. And so the lead story today from the Associated Press was about General Petraeus, who has publicly come out to condemn this plan to burn Qurans down at a church in Florida. And it seemed odd to me that, given the many issues that seem to be flowing from Islam, particularly in our American culture, it is a bit of a flashpoint these days, that General Petraeus would decide to come out and comment on this otherwise domestic issue. But he did. That burning of Qurans is planned for 9/11, September 11th. It's a small Florida church, but apparently the general thinks that the Taliban will exploit the demonstration of Quran burning for propaganda purposes. And that could very well drum up anger toward the United States, making it harder for Allied troops to carry out their mission in protecting Afghan civilians. Quoting General Petraeus, it could endanger troops and it could endanger the overall effort. It is precisely the kind of action the Taliban uses and could use or could cause significant problems. Not just here, but everywhere in the world we are engaged with the Islamic community. So I guess what I'll have to do is I'll take this story. I was interested in obtaining Pastor Taylor's military and pastoral view on this, as he does an excellent job of combining the two, but I guess we'll have to put this off. And we'll put it to Pastor Lane Berglund. He is due up in the second hour today for our Ask the Pastor program. Pastor Berglund, Faith Lutheran Church in Churubusco, Indiana. I don't know if he has any military experience or not, but I think we probably will be putting that question to him in the second hour, the Ask the Pastor hour. For those of you who are just joining us and wondering, well, what's going on here in the Bible study? We're dealing with a situation where Pastor Taylor, we find out today, is in Germany and is unavailable to us, originally scheduled to do Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 17 here on the Bible study program, but he is unavailable. And so we are working right now to see if we can come up with some kind of a substitute. Gentlemen, are we making progress? We're not making any progress.
There's a pastoral conference, and most of the guys are...
Oh. Well, let's call the conference and see if we can get, you know, maybe we can get a couple of dozen guys to comment on it. Another thing that I want to talk about on Ask the Pastor, when we get around to that, is a story on from California. The governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, has been urged to veto a bill strengthening religious freedom. Doesn't that sound odd? Here's the story. An openly gay state senator is urging California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to veto a bill that seeks to define the union between a man and a woman as a civil marriage rather than a marriage. Senator Roy Ashburn, who is a Republican from Bakersfield, California, sent a letter to the governor requesting his veto on Monday, nearly 2 weeks after the California Assembly passed the Civil Marriage Religious Freedom Act and 5 days after the Senate approved the bill in a 22-11 concurrence vote. Under the legislation, no priest, minister, rabbi, or authorized person of any religious denomination would be required to solemnize a marriage that is contrary to the tenets of their faith. The bill also states that any refusal to solemnize a marriage under that provision shall not affect the tax-exempt status of any entity. According to the bill's author, a Democrat from San Francisco, Senator Mark Leno, the legislation simply affirms that California is a diverse state and that we can all coexist and make space for each other's beliefs without compromising the tenets of any religious group or individual. With the recent federal court ruling, we know that marriage for same-sex couples in California is on the horizon, said the state's first openly gay senator, referring to the ruling earlier this month that found California's one-man, one-woman marriage definition unconstitutional. So this is an interesting and kind of a, I don't know, it's just full of different, I guess we would say, diverse opinions. We have the Republican governor of California, who came into office ostensibly as a middle-of-the-road type, but has shifted and moved in the direction in favor of gay marriage. We have a Republican senator who is requesting the veto of this bill, the Civil Marriage Religious Freedom Act. And we have a Democrat senator from San Francisco defending it. And it may take some sorting out. Whether or not we'll be able to do that on the Ask the Pastor program remains to be seen. But we'll be we'll be putting that together.
5 minutes.
Randy, oh, okay. Okay.
He's actually coming in.
All right.
He's on the road, and his cell phone was bad.
All right, Pastor Randy Wilkin is hopefully on his way here, and he'll help us out with Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. Something else here that we may be talking about in our Ask the Pastor program when we get to the 11 o'clock hour, Central Daylight Time, here on our Bible study program. Remember those folks up in Michigan? I think there were maybe a half a dozen Christians who went to the Arabic festival just outside of Dearborn. I think it's an annual festival up in Dearborn. And my memory is that these five or six people decided to stand outside the festival on a public sidewalk and distribute copies of the Gospel of John. They were anticipating that this might lead to some trouble, although it was their perspective that under the freedom of religion provisions of the Constitution, that they were not doing anything wrong, but they anticipated that they might be obstructed, perhaps even arrested, and they were. And because they anticipated that, they were in a position to videotape the arrests as they took place. And so news came last week that a district court judge in Michigan had declined to dismiss the case against the four street preachers who were arrested back in June after engaging in conversations with attendees of the large Arab festival. So they were not all arrested, but four of them were. And you would think that since really there was no harm done, there was no violence, there were no real issues in terms of provocation, it seemed that this might be an easy case to dismiss. But the district court judge in Michigan has declined to dismiss that case. Judge Mark Summers of the 19th District Court in Dearborn heard arguments for about 2 hours back on Monday of last week and said he needed clarification on some issues that had been raised before deciding whether or not to drop the charges against Nagin Mayel, Dr. Nabil Qureshi, Paul Rezcala, and David Wood. Defense attorney Robert Muse, senior trial counsel with the Thomas More Law Center, argued in court that the group did nothing wrong and that their arrest violates their constitutional rights of freedom of speech and religion. My clients should not stand trial for exercising their First Amendment rights, the attorney said. According to the street preacher, several individuals had engaged in civilized conversations with Qureshi on the opening night of the 15th annual Dearborn Arab International Festival, which drew hundreds of thousands from across the country, Canada, and the Middle East. Now, I don't know if Pastor Lane Berglund will have an opinion on this or not, but I find this interesting from this perspective. And perhaps if you disagree with me when we take this up in the 11 o'clock hour of the Ask the Pastor program, you can call in. Feel free to disagree with the host any time. But we have a heightened sensitivity in New York City for members of the Islamic faith that want to build the mosque in the shadow of Ground Zero. And there are cries, including from the mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, that because of religious freedom, this mosque should be allowed to be built, even though the opinion polling seems to suggest that most of the New Yorkers and most of the country are opposed to the building of the mosque in that location. Never mind, because of religious freedom issues, the mayor and other civic leaders want to move forward with the approval of the building of this mosque. But up in Dearborn, you have four people who are simply trying to distribute the Gospel of John, and probably somewhere along the way to members of the Islamic faith on their way into or on their way out of the Arab festival up there in Michigan. Apparently, religious freedom doesn't work there. And these people were arrested, and then the judge, with an opportunity to dismiss the case, decides not to do so. That seems inconsistent to me, and unless there's some important fact or component that I have missed, it doesn't seem quite fair. So anyway, we'll see if we can bring that up with our guest, Pastor Lane Berglund, in the 11 o'clock hour of Ask the Pastor here today on the Bible study. I'm Chuck Rathert. We are dealing with a situation where our guest pastor, Pastor Kurt Taylor, who is a pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Waltz, Michigan, and a regular guest here on our Bible study program, turns out he's in Germany. And I don't know, he's a member of the military. I think he's Air Force Reserve. And is a chaplain. I don't know if he's doing a little duty over there in Germany on behalf of the United States military, or if he's on vacation, or exactly what's going on. When he returns, we'll find out. But he was our scheduled guest today for Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. And since he's in Germany, he is out of reach. And I said to the church secretary, well, is it possible to call Pastor Taylor? And she said, no, he's in Germany. which is kind of like, duh. Okay. So Pastor Taylor is out of reach today, and we are now searching for a substitute, or we think we've identified a substitute. Pastor Randy Wilkin is apparently on the way to the studio here at KFUO Radio, and hopefully he'll be able to help us with Matthew chapter 9. Again, an opportunity to point out some of the benefits here of our website, KFUO.org. That's how you obtain the webpage. The right side of our website gives you the opportunity to listen online. For those of you who sometimes say, well, you know, your AM radio signal can't penetrate my building, or I'm working in an office that has lots of fluorescent light fixtures and I'm deep inside the building and I can't listen to your AM radio signal. If you have a computer and your boss allows you to do it, you can listen online at KFUO.org. Just click that option to listen online. Also, you can listen to us on your mobile device. Whether you have an iPhone or maybe a BlackBerry, you can download the app for the mobile format that you need, and you can listen to us just about anywhere in the world these days. It's an exciting thing here at KFUO Radio because, obviously, after having been around for about 86 years, we've been used to broadcasting via the airwaves in about 100 miles in every direction. But because of the Internet, because of our ability to put our programming on the Internet, make it available to you online, now the mobile formats that are available via cell phone, and probably, I'm thinking, in a couple of years or so, you'll be able to drive in your car anywhere in America, perhaps anywhere in North America, and listen to the Bible study via that kind of technology. So if you go to KFUO.org, you will find a variety of options there. The Listen Now Online option, that's something that you can click on. Kind of lock that in, make that one of your favorites so that when you settle down at your desk or if you settle down at your laptop there at home after you've gotten the kids off to school, you can listen to the Bible study online. You can listen via your iPhone, your BlackBerry, or whatever it is, whatever phone that you have that you use for communication. Take a look at that. It may be an option that you would find helpful. And while you're at the website, we put these words in red, and we did for a reason. There is an option there on the right side of the page that gives you the chance to, as we put it, give now. So if you benefit from the broadcasting, you benefit from the discussions and the conversations we have with the many fine pastors who come to the Bible study and share information on the various Bible texts that we deal with, we would very much appreciate it if you would make a gift. I'm going to click on that right now. Maybe I should make a gift. Does that sound like a good idea? You click on, excuse me, Give Now, and up comes a page, a very simple and secure page where you can identify the amount that you would like to give. And then there's some contact information to fill out. And it's that simple. And every so often here, with some regularity, some consistency, it happens that somebody makes an electronic gift to KFUO Radio. I responded to one of those just this morning, a very generous gift. Actually, two of them. And so we're very thankful for that support. And if you go to KFUO.org, look on the right side of the page, the only letters that are in red, you will see Give Now, and you can fill out the information. You might say, well, you know, I really can't make a very large gift, but we would appreciate a gift of any size. If $10 sounds like something that you could do, then we would appreciate it if you would make that gift. The first half of the Bible study is over, and we hope that Pastor Randy Wilkin will be arriving shortly so that we can take up the topic of Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. We'll do that on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Back in the day, a man became a pastor by moving to the seminary. Today, Concordia Seminary has 7 routes that lead to pastoral ministry. The Specific Ministry Pastor Program is a 4-year program where men become pastors through the World Wide Web while they continue to live and work in the congregations they are already serving. Keeping up with the times, that's Concordia Seminary.
Stages St. Louis presents State Fair, now through October 3rd. State Fair takes us back to a simpler time, with blue ribbons for prize boars and mincemeat being served up. State Fair features a soaring score by Rodgers and Hammerstein, including the Academy Award-winning song It Might As Well Be Spring. Information about Stages St. Louis is available at stagesstlewis.org.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? One writer explains that each of Jesus' parables has a punchline that delivers the meaning behind the story we hear. This punchline is what makes a parable different from other stories. Well, there are also punchlines in the miracle stories. A favorite of mine is the story of 4 men bringing a paralytic to see Jesus as he preached inside a crowded house at Capernaum. St. Mark tells us, "And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming, for who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Like the scribes in the story, many today believe that while physical healing is truly miraculous, the forgiving of sins, though it has eternal rewards, isn't nearly as difficult. Jesus would disagree with both the scribes and as many of us. St. Paul reminds us, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." His forgiveness is so strong that it changes us from God's enemies to his friends. Lord, we need to know and to be comforted by the fact that we can be healed spiritually, and that healing in turn can restore wholeness to our bodies and souls. Help us to live for this truth, for we pray in the name of Jesus, our great physician and the shepherd of our souls. Amen.
God works in mysterious ways his will to fulfill. On the next Law and Gospel, we will reveal God's methods, first in shutting down an abortion clinic, and second, in publicizing how a university is attempting to expel a student because of her Christian beliefs. The hour will point out that though the devil does his worst, he can harm us not at all.
Weekdays at 6 on KFUO Radio.
Here he comes, hero of the day. Pastor Randy Wilkin. Have a seat there, sir.
Thank you.
You are about to pull my out of the fire.
Ah, there we go.
Take your time, get settled.
Ah.
I could have asked you. You're retired military, right?
Uh-huh.
I was going to ask Kirk Taylor, whom we thought was going to be our guest today. But you know how it is. It's radio, mm-hmm. and our wires get crossed from time to time.
Yep.
About the General Petraeus.
Ooh.
He's publicly spoken out on the Florida church Quran burning.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't have time to talk about
that.
We've only got a half an hour to deal with Matthew 9. Thank you very much, because I know our guys are scrambling here trying to find somebody who could help us out. And, of course, the host here is treading water and nostrils just above water level there. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 here, and we're going to deal with verses 1 through 17. And before I read verses 1 through 8, if you would pray on our Bible study here, please.
Oh, yeah. Dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we just give you praise and thanks for what you are doing, Lord, and the fact that it is nice and it is cool. But, Lord, we give you thanks for the heat, and we give you thanks for the unbelievable cold, because then we come to realize how gracious and awesome you are when we have days like today. Bless our time together in your word, Lord. May you open our eyes and keep us focused on your Son, Jesus Christ, because that's the reason why we do all this. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Verse 1, chapter 9, and getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "Well, this man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Pastor Wilkin, do you have the authority to forgive sins?
Wow. You know, that's one of the things that I have heard a number of people say. They'll come to our churches, Lutheran churches, and one of the things they say is, "Excuse me, you don't have the authority to forgive sins. Only Jesus does, and you can't forgive sins because we stand
it." Okay, what is it that you do that causes them to think that you believe that you have the authority to forgive sins?
Well, in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they get very upset because you can't do that.
Now, that's part of the traditional liturgy. Usually comes right there in the beginning of the service, does it not?
Yep.
What do you guys call that? Confession and absolution?
Yes. Yep.
And so the congregation will make what we sometimes call a corporate confession. We'll acknowledge our sinfulness. And then Randy Wilkins says, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins."
Yeah, I forgive you your sins. Wow, you're not authorized. You can't do that. And they get very, very upset.
It ruffles feathers, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
Well, then why do you do it?
Because that's what I've been commanded to do. Yeah, the command is, by Jesus Christ, go and those sins that you forgive, they're forgiven. Those that you retain, they're retained. And he's giving us the command to do this. And he gives us that authority. But what is amazing is people think, okay, the first thing is, wow, you're sinful too. Yeah, and you're forgiving me my sins? Well, who's forgiving you your sins? And they get kind of upset with that whole, you're human, you're sinful just like me, and who made you boss? Who put you in charge of me?
We boomers have that kind of an attitude, don't we, sometimes? And I don't know if you know the answer to this question, and I'm going to ask it anyway. You didn't have any time to prepare for this, and you're helping us out here. But was there some kind of forgiveness mechanism prior to the arrival of Jesus Christ? Was it true that somebody, a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a teacher of the law or somebody, rabbi, was in a position to say to some other person, "I forgive your sins"?
I don't know that they had the authority to do exactly what you just said. But there was a mechanism. It's called the sacrifices. It's called the high priest goes in, makes sacrifice for the people. Their sins are forgiven because of the sacrifice. You do something wrong, here's what you have to do. You got a goat. You have to sacrifice a cow. a bull, or if you're poor, you bring in some doves. Well, those are the sacrifices. That's what you have to sacrifice, and it's the blood, and it's burning the flesh. It's all these things. You know, these things are, they were in place. That mechanism was in place.
So whether it was said verbally, mm-hmm. or whether it was done visually, once the mm-hmm. Levitical priest or the person who was in charge of the sacrifices took your doves mm-hmm. and completed the sacrifice, that was in a way saying, now your sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. The sacrifice has been made, your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven,
mm-hmm.
is that something that you think would have just been a completely foreign and radical yep. concept to the people who heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it more that they would object because they didn't think that Jesus had the authority to do these things that were being done mm-hmm. down through the centuries?
Well, I think it's much more that, you know, here's the people looking and saying, hold on, wait a second. Carpenter's son, we know this guy. What does he think he's doing? He's forgiving sins. I don't know if they had that in their heart. But basically, they're asking the question, no one can forgive sins except for God himself. Exactly.
Is it your opinion that Jesus, in his public ministry, which mm-hmm. in Matthew, in terms of teaching, sort of begins with the Sermon on the Mount,
mm-hmm.
a long discourse, and it would appear that Jesus is intentionally taking on the legalism, the legalized religion of his day,
mm-hmm.
as embodied in the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes. My question is he just teaching the truth and letting the chips fall where they may? Or do you think he is intentionally challenging the religion of the Pharisees on purpose, so that when he sits down in this place where he heals this paralytic, he is intentionally provoking the legalists
mm-hmm.
on this occasion?
Oh, absolutely. Start back with he is antagonizing him. Start back with Matthew. Oh, you think you don't sin? Yeah,
because
you never committed
he
adultery.
He could have mm-hmm. said, rise, take up your bed and walk,
mm-hmm.
and just blown everybody away.
Yep.
And then said, your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And the opponents would have had to have said, oh, boy, this is a tough one. I mean, the guy obviously has the power to do
uh-huh.
this.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he has the power to do that.
Right.
But instead he does the forgiveness first,
yeah.
which seems to me to be, if you really wanted to get their attention and maybe uh-huh. even make them really mad,
uh-huh.
that would be the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he goes to what's important first. All these other things, and I love what you're saying, because who is it? Herod at the end, you know, oh, Jesus, yeah, I've always wanted to meet you. Do some tricks for me. You know, that's all they're thinking of. Oh, he did some miracles. Do some miracles for me. Come on, I've always wanted to see this. I just want to be fascinated by this. And that's what it seems like that's what people want. They're looking for, you got to do the miracles first, then I'll listen to you afterwards.
So Jesus says, rise, I'm sorry, your sins are forgiven.
Yes.
And that does what we all predicted would do.
Mm-hmm.
It riles up his opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, but that you may know
mm-hmm.
that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins,
yeah.
get up and walk.
Yeah.
And the man gets up and walks.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the opponents,
mm-hmm.
why didn't they say, well, that's game, set, match right there.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's obvious that this is blasphemy.
Uh-huh.
Unless you can do that, if you can back it up with that,
uh-huh.
you got us.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't they say that?
Uh-huh. Because I don't care what miracles. A man can come back from the dead, can rise from the dead, and they won't believe you. Let them believe the prophets, and that's the that's Lazarus. And the rich, you know, and Lazarus and the rich
man
that went to hell, and he's, you know, oh man, go back and, you know, tell my brothers so they don't come to hell. Now, even if a man raises from the dead, they're not going to believe. Even if you see miracles, you're not going to believe, because you're going to set yourself up. Oh, that was good. Wow, I'm kind of stunned. Now what? Well, I got to figure out a way to, you know, to get back at this Jesus. because no matter what he does, they're not going to believe him.
Verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners."
Mm-hmm.
So this is yet another provocative move. When Jesus is done, he will have called 12 apostles, and this is one of them, Matthew, who has given us this gospel. Matthew's not qualified to be an apostle.
Oh, no. No, that's a pretty dirty guy. You know, a tax collector.
He might be a nice guy. He might even be an honest guy, but that doesn't matter. Everybody knows he's a tax collector, and they hate him. So why would you make a move like that, do you think, to put Matthew in the company of the 12?
Yeah, well, why is it that Jesus didn't come in and go right to the Pharisees and say, "You're the guys"? You're the leaders. You got the purse strings to the temple. You got all this, man, and you're in the right positions of power. Yeah, I can really parlay all that. No, what does he do? He goes to the dirty people. He goes to the ones that no one else wants to associate with. That's who he goes to. The fishermen. Come on, those dirty fishermen. They always stink of fish.
They did.
Oh, man.
They just smelled like fish
all the time. Oh, yeah. So why go to these guys? And then it's later, you know, here's these disciples, and they know they're not learned men. How are they doing this stuff? And that's exactly it. Jesus is going to the lowly, the meek, the humble. He's going to the ones no one else wants. And he's going because the world says, this is what you need. If you really want to have a big church, you got to have the wealthy people in there. You got to have the people with power, the people that have their act together, the people that are organized. That's who you need in your church. And Jesus is saying, no, let me show you something different. Let me show you something that's really going to astound you. You know, and because you guys, and I love this when it says it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. All right, so we're going to the sick ones. Well, who are the healthy ones? No. It's in your mind who thinks that they are healthy. Well, I don't need a doctor. Everything's going good for me. And I talk to people right now that are, I don't want to share too much, but basically going to churches that were really in good shape years ago, about 5 years ago, they were in such wonderful shape. You know, man, they got their capital campaign. They're out raising millions of dollars for their new sanctuary, their new additions, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I go and talk with them and say, hey, here's some stuff we're doing in the inner city. Pastor, we don't have time for that. We have our own work we need to be doing. And they were just so focused on raising their money. Now that the economy is bad, these big churches, I've gone back to them, and they're about, they're not going to close their doors, but man, did they curtail. They have laid off all kinds of staff. Now they're not sure they're going to be able to keep their doors open because they're really hurting, and they're coming up and saying, how can we turn things around? Well, you couldn't before because you were so into yourself. You had all of your act together. Now all of a sudden you're humbled. Now looking and saying, how can we, what must we do? Because we have realized we're not as healthy as what we thought we were. But when you think you're healthy, you won't listen to anybody. When you're sick, all of a sudden you're reaching out. This tax collector, what does he do? He brings his friends in and they have this little feast and they're having a little party and Jesus is right in the midst of them. Why? Because, man, we have found the one. Here's the Pharisees who don't even bring a bowl of water for Jesus to wash his feet in because, so what? So he's here, this miracle worker we really don't care about. And their eyes are open because they are so humbled. They know that they're sinners, but yet Jesus comes and forgives them.
So you just talked about the forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament setting being done in such a way that a variety of sacrifices identified for different kinds of sins and failures. So you got to sacrifice bulls and sheep and mm-hmm. lambs and goats and turtle doves, and there are grain offerings and drink offerings and wave offerings and mm-hmm. peace offerings and sin offerings. Okay.
Yep, yep.
They know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus comes along in verse 13 and says, go and learn what this means. You people who are just sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing.
Mm-hmm.
I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility that anybody, having lived a reasonably faithful, responsible, at least true to the Torah religious life, could possibly understand what I desire mercy and not sacrifice means?
Mm-hmm. So your question is?
My question is, if I'm a practicing Jew in mm-hmm. the first century, and I know what it's like to make sacrifices,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now comes the rabbi who just raised Phil the paralytic over there at John's house. And so we know he's got something going on. There's something going on. But we're done with sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can't possibly be right. So what does that mean? Go and learn what this means. What does it mean?
I desire mercy. Let me see. The sacrifices are over. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. That's where it's leading towards. So now, go and learn what this means. So now, this is something you're going to ponder in your heart for all his time until, Jesus is sacrificed and he's raised from the dead, and even the disciples. Wow, hold on. It's all making sense now. They didn't get it while he was alive. Same thing with these Pharisees. Same thing with us. And he's saying, I desire mercy. Put it in today's terms. Sometimes we think, I'm sacrificing my time, I'm sacrificing my income, I'm sacrificing all this stuff. And Jesus says, nah, that's not what I want. I want you to show mercy. That's what I want you to be doing. I want you to show mercy to people. Don't show them your sacrifices. I was a sacrifice. I'm the one that did it. Now, go out and do likewise. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. That's looking for the sinners. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He's changing everything. He's turning it upside down. The righteous, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those holy people inside the temple, and they all thought they were doing the right stuff. And he says, no, you're not. You lost it. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You're in there doing the sacrifices. And what does God say in the Old Testament? I'd have to find it. But he says, your sacrifices are a stench in my nostrils. Why? Because I want the true sacrifice, which is your heart. That's what I'm looking for. And you think I want bulls? You think I'm hungry? You think this really makes me happy? No, it's there to point to my son. That's what it's supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be humbling you, and it doesn't.
Verse 14, then the disciples of John, I take that to be John the Baptist, mm-hmm. came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?
Mm-hmm.
The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. When we went through verses 1 through 8,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus heals the paralytic mm-hmm. and forgives sins. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to say that I understand it 100%. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty amazing thing, but I get it. It's about the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And when he calls Matthew, who doesn't seem qualified to be one of the 12, I get it. Because it is the sick who need a physician. But when he says, talking about this unshrunk cloth and this, I think there are a lot of us who, we read the question and we go, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the answer? And he says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth, and we go, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? And then we read it again, and we go, I'm not getting it. Mm-hmm. I'm not understanding it here. This is a difficult passage, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain it to me?
Yeah, because, all right, everything we just talked about, here it is. Why does he do the miracles? Not the miracles because, wow, I'm going to do some tricks. I'm showing you these miracles to show you the authority I have. Not the miracles are not important. Because he raises Lazarus from the dead and Lazarus still dies a second time. I mean, he's going to die anyway. Now, here's the thing. That's not why I do it. I do these things to show you the authority that I have. I'm changing everything. I'm changing it all. This is what God has set in place. The Father has set all these sacrifices in place to show you me. Now, then he comes along and, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I'm flipping it over again because these are not new teachings. They're not teachings that have never been there before.
Actually, that I desire mercy is from Hosea.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So these are, it's not that new stuff is coming. It's the fulfillment and it's the understanding of what is coming or what is happening. Here comes all of this, new wine in old wineskins, because when you do, it's going to burst. And what's the old wineskin? The old sacrificial system. Here's all the old stuff that you guys had. Here is the new understanding. Here is the new not new stuff, but the
come
revelation.
We're not sacrificing bulls and goats at my church, now that you mention it.
No? Oh, man.
We're not doing that.
Oh, you got to stop over at mine.
That's an old wine. Oh, are you doing that over there?
No. Not any controversy here.
I understand. Tongue in cheek.
Yeah. But no, you're absolutely right. And here it is. This is the new. This is the new. The new revelation, not the new stuff, but the
new
teaching.
Testament?
Ah, New Testament, yeah. And now let's place all of this not into the old law and the old sacrificial system, because it's going to burst it. Because you can't. Here it is. This is into the new. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I'm changing all the old teachings. Because, Jesus goes up and says, what did Moses say about, divorce? Oh, yeah, give a certificate, we can divorce. No, God never intended that, but Moses gave that to you because your hearts were hard.
So the sacrificing of a lamb, for example, mm-hmm. was a ritual given by God so that he might show mercy to the people who had sinned against him. Mm-hmm. But the religion of the day had taken this kind of behavior, had taken these kinds of ceremonies, and turned them into, what a fine ceremonial religious person I am.
Yes. And what do we have now? Boy, I just went to church. Don't I feel good? Wow, I just went to church, and the music was really good. The organist was wonderful and all this stuff. And I really feel good because I went to church, and all of a sudden it becomes the same sacrificial type system where I just come to church for an hour on Sunday, I feel good, then I go out to Cracker Barrel, I go out to Denny's, I have something to eat. Wow, Sunday is complete, and wow, we're missing it also. The new teaching, go out and show mercy. Go show mercy to these people. It's the sinners, it's the dirty people out there that you're going to bring in. Those are the ones I desire to find. Those are the ones I have sent you to go out and find. The broken ones are the ones that I give to you to forgive their sins. Show them the mercy.
Well, that was fast, wasn't it?
Oh, man, this is way too short.
Well, maybe we'll take up a little bit of it in the next hour with Pastor Lane Berglund.
You got it. Yeah.
You might want to hang around. He might be out of town, too. Here, let's make sure we've got him on the line here before you head out. Thank you so much.
Oh, you betcha. I love it.
I'm in your debt this much.
There you go. Right. Hey.
As far as the east is from the west.
Right back at you.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's right. Pastor Randy Wilkin bailing us out here in Matthew chapter 9. Stay with us for Ask the Pastor.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.